Before we get started, a quick disclaimer. This podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Nothing you hear is an offer or a solicitation to buy or sell any investment. And with that, hello and welcome to the Rangeley Capital Podcast. I'm Andrew Walker, Portfolio Manager at Rangeley. And with me as always, my co-host and Rangeley's founder, Chris DeMuth. It is Wednesday, February 15th, and today we are having our quarterly 13F podcast. And at the end of the podcast, we might do some discussion on potential M&A for one of Warren Buffett's holdings, Bill Ackman's big holdings, restaurant brands. So Chris, let's dive into the 13F discussion. This is, I think it ends up being one of our most popular podcasts every quarter. Every quarter, institutional money managers, those are money managers who manage more than 100 million in general. I think 150 million is the cutoff now. They have to do a filing with the SEC that says, hey, here's every stock that we hold. The data is a little bit stale. So, you know, everyone just filed yesterday for as of the end of December 31st. But 13Fs are widely watched so that investors can kind of see what the world's biggest and best investors are buying, what positions activists have begun to accumulate. You know, no one is bigger, better than Warren Buffett, so people are always looking to see what Berkshire Hathaway is filing. And Chris, for the second quarter in a row, Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway have been unusually active. I know we're going to talk about them at some point. I'll turn it over to you, and you can decide, do we want to start talking Warren Buffett? Do we want to start talking other things that caught our eye? Wherever you want to go.
I always feel a little dirty on the topic. It's kind of voyeuristic. You're looking at your neighbor's information. It's kind of like when you look up tax information or you're curious on real estate or something, what other people are up to. But it's useful. You know, if somebody has been hawking some stock, you kind of want to look back and double check that they actually own it, maybe we're increasing their position and weren't just kind of sloughing it off on you over the last quarter. Some of them are more useful than others. Berkshire is particularly useful. It's large. They are essentially long only, and they don't have complex trading strategies that allow some to be misleading. There are some wonderful investors out there that their 13Fs are just baffling.
Yes,
they go on forever. And also that they have inventory that they use for other trading purposes too. So
So like a typical example would be a BlackRock 13F. BlackRock's the largest money manager in the world. They run a bunch of index funds as well as some actively managed funds. But if BlackRock files a 13F and it says they own 8% of a company, it means nothing. They just have it in their index funds. If a quantitative trader files a 13F and says they had something, it means nothing. They might have sold it all because they're always flipping based on what their computer models are selling. You really want someone who's got a long-term outlook buying that. A big fundamental investor like Warren Buffett is the type of person who these things mean something for.
In Buffett's case, quadrupled Apple, bought it fairly well. It's run up a lot in the process of their accumulating it, and made a big increase in their bet on the airlines.
Yeah, so, you know, the Apple one's interesting because last year when they started buying it, you know, we always do these podcasts and someone will say, Warren Buffett or Berkshire buys Apple. And someone will come on and say, it wasn't Warren Buffett. It was one of his lieutenants. It was Ted or Todd. And they've generally been right. But now the Apple stake is so big, I believe it's up to $8 billion, that it's almost a certainty that that is more money than Ted and Todd have been managing. So it's almost a certainty that Warren Buffett himself has decided to start buying Apple stock.
In one of the more kind of meta moments here, I attacked my article this morning just to get it out of the way for claiming that Buffett had bought something, saying it might have been Ted or Todd, the author's an idiot, and so forth. And I kind of went on in this dramatic fashion. And then somebody came back in, I believe unironically, attacking my attack and defending the underlying author. So you can't win. I think that is Buffett himself. I think that Apple is a defensible value investment on very traditional value metrics, especially last kind of February, March had gotten, you know, cheap enough that it would make sense for Buffett to be interested, and then, you know, less so since then, but he can hold on to it. I thought that was very interesting. And then the other one I thought was very interesting is the airlines.
Yeah, so the airline bet, this represents one of his largest bets in years.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting, and I believe we talked about this on the last 13F podcast when he had started buying them. But he didn't just choose one, right? You know, Southwest is the one that probably makes the most sense. It's got a quirky culture. It's kind of run by a Midwesterner. I think it was a Texas person who started it. Quirky culture, low-cost culture, probably sustainable competitive advantage there. That's the one that makes the most sense. But he didn't just buy that. He went and bought all four airlines, United, American, Delta, Southwest. He bought $2 to $2.5 billion of each of them. So it's this big bet on the airline industry in general. We mentioned it before, but it's kind of surprising because he's famously quipped that he is an aeroholic and that if a capitalist had been present at Kitty Hawk, they would have shot down the Wright brothers to spare investors the decades of losses from investing in the airline industry. So clearly he sees something has changed there, and I'll let you talk about what he kind of sees has changed.
You know, everybody can get deeply ingrained habits, but... and I might get flack for saying this, especially old people. As you get older, mm-hmm. you just get more like yourself. Buffett specifically said, as you get richer, you get more like yourself. And so picking one of the oldest kind of famous working and wealthiest people, you'd think he'd be so ingrained in his habits. But Buffett is brilliant, just A+ at throwing away habits, looking at things with fresh eyes. And what did he see? I mean, I think that I would strongly recommend this Doug Parker presentation in March that apparently really caught Buffett's eye. And you look through it, and there are a couple things that's kind of fun looking at from his perspective.
Let me just back. So sure. Doug Parker is the American Airlines CEO.
Yes.
In March 2016, he gave a presentation at, I think it was a JP Morgan
yes.
conference, that Ted Weschler, who's one of Warren Buffett's two stock pickers, Ted Weschler had a deep history with him,
mm-hmm.
saw the presentation. Parker said, hey, now's the time to take a leap of faith yeah. for the airline industry. Weschler kind of got interested, told Warren Buffett about it. Warren Buffett got interested, and that's kind of credited as the inflection point for changing the Berkshire's thinking as a whole on the industry.
I typically think the cliche of taking leaps of faith is just cringe-inducing. In this case, he really showed an industry with very similar stats demographically earning money for the first time, having price and competition rationalization, which you want to say just to the level that the antitrust people don't listen, but that the investors do for the first time, and labor issues dealt with for the first time in like 100, well, not 100 years, in a very, very long time, decades and decades and decades. A different world, convincingly so, investable, and possibly a value investment.
Look, 10 years ago, Warren Buffett came out and said, look, the railroads have been awful businesses for 100 plus years. And he started buying railroads because he said, hey, they've consolidated down to the point there were only 7 or 8 of them.
Mm-hmm.
They've consolidated down to the point where it makes economic sense and these things are going to be profitable going forward. So he changed his thinking. And we've mentioned it before. In a lot of ways, it seems like the airline investment might mirror the railroad investment of 10 years ago. And if he's right, look, the railroads have done fantastically. If he's right, the airlines are going to do fantastically.
Absolutely. Can I switch to Monsanto?
Yeah.
I was listening to a short little blurb on Bloomberg, and not to be disparaging about a journalist, he goes, Warren Buffett is an arb. That's funny, and kind of scoffs at this, despite the fact that Warren Buffett has a multi-decade brilliant history, especially during the Buffett partnership era, doing ARB in a time when it was an extremely attractive thing to do, but that he can pick and choose his spots, and he or one of his lieutenants, I'll get out in front and say that, somebody at Berkshire has a new big position in Bayer, Target, Monsanto.
Yeah, so this is an $800 million stake, so in all likelihood, you're probably right, it is a Todd or Ted investment. But it is interesting because I can't remember Berkshire doing a merger arb type position in the past decade or so. I obviously could be wrong, and I'm sure someone will let us know if we are, but I can't remember it. So it's just interesting that they've stepped their foot into this position. And I wonder, you know, are they doing it because I think right now the market's got like less than a 50% chance of this deal going through? Do they just think the market's off and this is extremely likely to go through? You know, they think it's 90, the market thinks it's 40, so they're betting that. Or do they think, hey, Monsanto is a great business. Agricultural cycle has been poor, but it's kind of the bottom of the agricultural cycle. So maybe the market has the likelihood of this going right, but I'd actually like to own the stock at this level as a standalone business. I don't know the answer.
I don't know. I have a guess it is the latter, not the former, simply because if you don't have any diversification within that strategy, it's always going to be a probabilistic type bet. It would be very funny to have one just dangling out there on a very specific bet that it happens to work. Now, as a specific bet that it happens to work, I think that bet actually happens to be strong and strengthening. If you look at the process in the EU, Bayer has taken a very careful look. One thing I always look at is before you formally file, you want it. It's kind of like proposing marriage. You want to know the answer before you technically ask. And so if you kind of go through and deal with everything first, as they have, very likely to get through there. And then also they've been buttering up Trump.
Yeah. I think that's a great point. Let's just quickly turn to other things.
Sure.
In terms of sales, Warren Buffett, he's basically out of Walmart at this point. He's gone from 60 million shares in 2014 to just 2 million at the end of last year. He'll probably be out of that soon. He sold out of Kinder Morgan, a couple others, but I just thought those were interesting. Kinder Morgan, he bought it in late 2015, early 2016 when oil prices were way low. Kinder Morgan was at 15. Now it's at 22 and he's out. So great trade on his part. I don't know if you want to comment on that.
I just wanted to say that I think that he must look at a very bleak pricing environment for Walmart.
Yeah,
that's just if Walmart can't get their prices low enough and Buffett's time horizon isn't long enough, it's a bad sign for retail.
Yeah, and look, we've compared Walmart to Sears in the late 80s, early 90s, with Amazon being the Walmart of the late 80s, early 90s several times, and it seems like Buffett might be thinking something like that. Quickly, other 13F stuff before we turn to restaurant brands. I thought Trion buying Procter & Gamble, P&G. I thought that was interesting. You know, as of December 31st, they had a $560 million position in them. CNBC reported last night they built it up to about $3.5 billion. And, you know, everybody's wondering, what are they going to do? Are they going to push them to break up? Are they going to push P&G to go buy someone? I don't know, but I think it's interesting because in this case, Trian bought about 1% to 2% of the company, and that's generally a very small stake for an activist, but the stock was up 2% to 3% today, so clearly investors are saying, hey, they're going to be able to get management to do something. It really shows the power of activists today where they can buy that small of a giant company and look to leverage their reputation and other investors to push a company to change. I don't know if you want to talk about anything else or turn to restaurant brands.
Restaurant brands.
Okay, so let's go to restaurant brands. So restaurant brands, the owner of Burger King and Tim Hortons, it's run by 3G. It counts Bill Ackman and Warren Buffett among their shareholders. It's actually Bill Ackman's largest position by far. He owns 18% of the company, and it represents about one-third of his portfolio. So a massive bet by Bill Ackman here. On Monday, Reuters broke the story that they had approached Popeyes about a potential merger, but then the New York Post quickly followed that story up saying, hey, the approach happened in November. That was before Popeyes stock kind of ran up thanks to really nice earnings and the Trump bump. And they've kind of broken off talks over a price at this point. But everyone's wondering now, who is Restaurant Brands going to go shopping for? I'll turn it over to you to kind of talk about what you think.
You know, it's interesting. Sometimes these market checks are useful in price discovery. There are certain investment bankers and certain journalists that have very close relationships and really use it as part of their process. But in this time, it seemed like it kind of interfered. It can be a problem because you can raise expectations amongst targets when prices start to take into account potential acquisitions. Acquisition premiums can get in the way of the acquisitions themselves. They seem to take it very personally. And maybe I am worth the amount that my stock just raced up to.
No, you do hear one issue is investors expect a premium when a deal's announced. But if all investors know a company's likely to get sold, they build that premium in. And then if they build in too much of a premium or something, it actually can be a hindrance to getting a deal done. So you have this weird thing where a company should be acquired, but no one can pay the acquisition price for them. So I think you're 100% right. Not sure if that applies here, not because obviously earnings were strong, so it might be different, but I think you're 100% right there.
But you have the Popeyes possibility. You have Bojangles, as I used to live in North Carolina, where Bojangles is really big as an alternative. And then you also have the alternative of they're going really, really big.
Yeah, so I think, look, they said right now Restaurant Brands owns Burger King, mm-hmm. and they own Tim Hortons. So they've got donuts and they've got burgers. And it sounds like what they really want to do is they want to buy an American-focused brand that is in chicken or something else that they're not currently in. And they want to look to be able to kind of improve operations there as well as roll it out internationally. You know, Popeyes obviously fits that to a T. It's got a good brand. I think it's decently managed, but they can roll that out internationally. It's chicken. I think Bojangles is a great one. One that I was kind of thinking of, which I'm not sure if it would fit the 3G ethos, but Chick-fil-A, right? Mm-hmm. Chick-fil-A is huge, but that is chicken. It has a fantastic brand. It's family-owned and run, so you would think there would be cost savings there, though cost savings 3G style might not really fit with the Chick-fil-A brand. The other one a lot of people have thought about is Chipotle is a Mexican brand in turnaround, might need a management upgrade. It's another big Bill Ackman position, hasn't really gone international yet. That kind of fits all of the things we're talking about there, though that would be a very big acquisition.
They can do big. I mean, they can do big. Buffett trusts the 3G guys. He can put another financing. I think that might make sense. I think the Chick-fil-A might, but then there's the political and religious issues mm-hmm. surrounding the family. I think that they would want a lot of comfort, and it doesn't happen to be political and religious views that line up with Buffett. Maybe everybody already knew this, but until the recent documentary on Buffett, I never heard him describe himself as agnostic before, but he said he's very much an agnostic, and he was kind of comfortable talking about that, but that doesn't line up that well with the Chick-fil-A people. My yep. guess is that such an ingrained part of their culture that that's not something that they would want to switch.
I think you're 100% right, but yeah, Bojangles, Popeyes, I can't really think of any others off the top of my head, but you know, this is 3G, they've done a really nice job with Restaurant Brands, and they are clearly ready for the next acquisition. So I'm sure they're turning over every stone they can find. Anything else?
I have nothing to add.
All right. That's all the time we have for today. Before we hit our disclosures, just a quick reminder. If you like this podcast, please be sure to follow and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, or Audio Boom. We read everyone and it means a lot to us. Chris, I don't know if you saw this, but Edith Ramirez from the FTC apparently reviewed us on iTunes, I think 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah. She put a very long thing talking about Herbalife on the thing. So I'm pretty sure it wasn't her, you know, 99% chance it wasn't her. But Edith Ramirez, if you're listening, we appreciate it.
We appreciate it. I would like to, we disclaimed at the beginning, we disclosed at the end. I will disclose, I am long, like Buffett, Monsanto. I did not give him the idea, though.
Okay.
He came up with it on his own.
No disclosures for me, and we will talk to you guys next week.